Many writers have tried to place the September 11th attacks and Osama bin Laden's al-Qaeda network into some broader historical context. For writers Ian Buruma and Avishai Margalit, that context is not a clash of civilizations, and it's not particularly Islamic. It is political. They place Osama bin Laden's suicide hijackers in a class with German Nazis and Japanese kamikaze pilots, people all fighting against what they loathe in the West. Writing in the New York Review of Books, Buruma and Margalit call the outlook common to these movements Occidentalism. They take the notion of Orientalism, Westerners diminishing Eastern civilizations, and stand it on its head. According to Ian Buruma, Occidentalists reduce the West to something impure and threatening.
What it is a particular idea of secular liberal society, which is seen to be a society without values, that is materialistic, rationalistic, has no room for human soul and spirit and so on. And people who stand for an ideal, which is essentially a political ideal, but an ideal of purity and soul and blood and soil and so on, are of course deeply disturbed by that idea of politics and society.
An idea that takes as a virtue that things are not pure, that they are mixed and diverse, and there is not a single clear spiritual voice infusing politics, Avishai Margalit?
I think that one of the things that is most threatening is sexual freedom, or what is called laxity or depravity that attracts us of the West. And I think this is very scary and for lots of youngsters who feel deprived and feel that there are communities and societies which constrain their sexual freedom immensely, and they need sort of the other outlets, of heroic outlets, to compensate for that.
It's a hatred of something that people feel that is at the same time deeply attractive, but it's like a seductive, a great big juicy carrot that is always out of reach. And if you feel that it's always going to be out of reach, then you want to destroy it.
Among the objects of hatred in the Occidentalist worldview, as you describe it, would be materialism, liberalism, but both socialism and capitalism. You're not talking about an identification with a particular political philosophy, are you, Mr. Margalit?
No, not at all. Actually, I think in the string of adjectives and abstract nouns that we mentioned, socialism was definitely there. Socialist should feel attacked as much as bourgeois capitalist. And indeed, Jews were blamed by the Nazis both for bringing on Europe capitalism and bringing communism or socialism. So this is sort of part of the same cluster of ideas, Enlightenment ideas, that is under attack, and not necessarily bourgeois in the narrow sense of bourgeois capitalism, which is under attack. Bourgeois here means city dwellers and what urban life consists of.
And of course, Marxism and capitalism are both essentially materialistic creeds. And it's not for nothing that Marxists are often the best financial journalists, because they see the economy as the source of all events. And in this sense, socialism and capitalism are not contradictory.
A word that seems to crop up in many of the groups that you identify with this Occidentalist worldview, whether it was the fighters of Imperial Japan or this al-Qaeda movement or the Nazis, for that matter, is a concept of purity and purification and a return to the pure. What's all that about?
I think that it comes from, the basic idea comes from religion, namely the notion of defilement. And the notion of purity and lack of purity as a stain. Sin is a stain that should be removed, and the best solvent of removing the stain is blood. Either sacrificial blood, a substitute as it was in sacrificial lamb, or your blood, shedding blood as a purifying element. And I think this cuts very deep in religious thinking, and it has a secular equivalences.
To the extent that the two of you have given us a larger context in which to view the al-Qaeda movement, this particular stream of political Islam that's behind it. I wonder if you can make it square with these phenomena, that the fight that these people are waging seems not only to be against the World Trade Center towers, but against the statues of Buddha in Afghanistan, not only against Israelis, but against Indians in Kashmir. That is, there seem to be many objects of this wrath that cannot even remotely be called Western or Occidental in any way.
I think it ties with your previous question, namely part of it is perceived as a war against idolatry. And idols have, I mean, materialism is a kind of idols, but the Buddha statues and the Hinduism or whatever religion is idolatry in the strict sense. So those people obviously feel that they fight against idolatry.
Without in any way justifying what either Al-Qaeda or the Taliban have done, is their sizing up of what modernity and the West are all about, just as the Japanese sized it up, are they essentially right, that ultimately their notion of purity and withdrawal from a more secular, more mixed world, In fact, they do understand the historical forces that they're up against. We may not like the way they oppose them, but have they essentially got it right, Avishai Margalit?
It depends. I mean, there is a difference here, and that's what we try to stress, between criticizing certain ideas or form of life, which is called modernity or the West or whatever, and feeling the need to destroy it out of rage and hatred, and cultivating a cult of death. So obviously, I mean, we all belong to, in different ways, to all sorts of forms of criticism for our way of life, from within and from the without. Obviously, we are. There is a great deal to criticize in our form of life, or what is called the West. But the issue wasn't criticism, the issue was destruction. As long as those forces are up to destroy in the most literal sense of destroying, that's the issue.
Avishai Margalit in New York and Ian Buruma in London, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you in Washington.
Margalit and Buruma's article, Occidentalism, is in the January 17th issue of the New York Review of Books.